All right, what is up, guys? Welcome to Socrates and Lao Tzu, probably hate us, Ancient Wisdom for a Dumb World, where I take ancient works and try to reflect on them and explain them to my best ability. My name is Joey. I was a lazy philosophy major with super average grades, which makes me somewhat qualified to talk about all this. Somewhat. Alright, so before we begin, a quick disclaimer. Eastern philosophy can be very confusing and very ambiguous, especially Taoism. So the question is, what is Taoism? Taoism is an ancient philosophy, religion, and way of life that believes that we all must live according to the Tao, or translated in English, the way. It can be described as the natural order of the universe. So I know what you're thinking, what the hell does that mean? Well, we'll get to that. I myself can barely grasp it, and many before me have tried and somewhat succeeded, but they have never fully captured what it is. But that's beside the point. We will get there, as we will discover as we go along the Tao Te Ching. We'll discover that maybe that's where the problem lies. Maybe we try a little too hard to understand the eternal Tao, the way, the natural order of the universe. And that said, how will we live in accordance with what we don't understand? Perhaps the more we try and desire to know the Tao, the less we will understand. And we'll get there. We'll eventually get there to the best of our abilities. Hopefully we can get somewhat of a grasp on it, but yeah, set your expectations. That said, this task will be quite a difficult one, but this is a journey, of course, that you and I, everyone listening right now, will take together. And over time, as we read through each verse from the Tao Te Ching, we may slowly come to an understanding of the general idea of Taoism, the general idea of the Tao, and other concepts such as Wei Wu Wei, which means non-action. Just to note though that the translation I'll be primarily using is that of originally Jiafu Feng and Jane English with Toinette Lippe, I hope I got that right, with an updated translation by Jacob Neilman. I'll, however, be using other translations throughout this series just to get a fuller image of the text. The Tao Te Ching is notorious for its inability to be fully accurately translated. I've read that even in Chinese, people still have a hard time fully translating the Tao Te Ching, even if it was written in Chinese. Yeah. So I am of the belief that using different translations will help unlock the meaning of the text more fully. And I hope we can do that by the end of this series. So yeah, let's get going. So this is taken from the first verse of the Tao Te Ching. Tao Te Ching, chapter 1, or verse 1. The Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The nameless is the beginning of heaven and earth. The name is the mother of 10,000 things. Ever desireless, one can see the mystery. Ever desiring, one can see the manifestations. These two spring from the same source but differ in name. This appears as darkness. Darkness within darkness, the gate to all mystery. In another translation, it sounds a little like this. You can find both translation in the description of this podcast if you want to look into it. There are ways, but the way is uncharted. There are names, but not nature in words. Nameless indeed is the source of all creation, but things have a mother and she has a name. The secret waits for the insight of eyes unclouded by longing. Those who are bound by desire see only the outward container. These two come paired but distinct by their names. Of all things profound, say that their pairing is deepest, the gate to the root of the world. Alright, so let's examine the first line. The Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. Or in another translation, or the other translation, there are ways, but the way, or the Tao, is uncharted. This basically characterizes what any newbie to the Tao Te Ching has to realize, what I myself had to realize at the start, that the description of what the Tao or the way is, it's a tough nut to crack. To describe the way or the Tao as the natural order of the universe is easy enough, but actually grasping the Tao in its entirety will feel almost entirely impossible. But of course, we don't have to feel hopeless that we will never understand how to live according to the natural order of the universe. In fact, the Tao Te Ching is pretty much a guide on how to live accordingly to the Tao. But just imagine that this guy doesn't really know how to speak the language a lot of us are comfortable with. In fact, let's just assume that this guy doesn't know how to talk to you at all in the way of communication you're accustomed to. And if you read through it, it won't really be an assumption. You might think that that really is the case. An alternative translation of the first line, again, goes like this. There are ways, but the way is uncharted. The same way that the first sailors had no idea where the hell they were going before they had fully charted out a map of the world, trying to discover the Tao puts you through some really murky waters yourself. Others cannot map it out for you. You can't read some guide or map and just see how it's done. It's something to be discovered on your own. Scary, but we will try to do it together. So what then do we do to discover the Tao? What can we do to try and discover it? Let's focus on the next lines in the passage. The nameless is the beginning of heaven and earth. The named is the mother of 10,000 things. Ever desireless, one can see the mystery. Ever desiring, one can see the manifestations. In the other translation I put down, it reads, the secret waits for the insight of eyes unclouded by longing. Those who are bound by desire see only the outward container. Just to clarify things, there is something to note about the word desire. Desire should not be seen negatively in this sense, but it should be seen neutrally because there are certain desires that are actually harmless, like the desire to be a better person, the desire for wisdom, the desire to know God, and the like. According to Jacob Needleman, a better translation for the term would be craving or addiction, which more so refers to what happens to desire when it fully consumes us. So again, yeah, the nameless is the beginning of heaven and earth. The named is the mother of 10,000 things. Ever desireless, one can see the mystery. Ever desiring, one can see the manifestations. Basically speaking, those who actively seek out the Tao are never bound to find it. Those who actively seek it out and crave it and make declarations on what it is only discover the manifestations of the actual mystery of the Tao, not the Tao itself. So yeah, they find shadows of it and not the Tao. Basically, if you want to find the Tao, you can't crave to know it. You can't because if you do and you settle on what you find, you may be, you know, settling for something less, settling on something that it isn't. And because of that, you may never know the actuality of the Tao. What a fucking mess. So what the hell do we do? So I remember reading the Tao Te Ching as a bright-eyed philosophy major in my sophomore year of college, thinking that philosophy would be there to provide me with all the answers of the universe. The Tao Te Ching was one of the first, actually it was the second thing or reading that we ever had in our first philosophy class, and it shocked me. It utterly shocked me because it really was different in terms of how it tackled philosophy or how I expected philosophy to be tackled at all. It was our first taste of Eastern philosophy, of course, and the form of philosophy we expected was that of Socrates, Aristotle, all those other old Greek dudes. That was the kind of philosophy we expected, because the way Western philosophy was framed was that things like the truth and wisdom and beauty and the good and all that stuff that we were trying to know more about, it was done by actively seeking it out through philosophical inquiry. But here in the Tao Te Ching, we're literally being told not to actively seek out that which we want to know more about, which is the Tao. We're being told not to crave it and long for it and search for it. the Tao is something that we can discover on our own, but how do we discover it when we're not actively seeking it out? When actively seeking it out just drives us away from it further. To somewhat hopefully answer that, I will just be telling a fairly recent story that I experienced. So I decided to pick up the Tao Te Ching again only in the year 2020. You know, quarantine, not a lot to do, and that was about a year ago. Life had slowed down because, again, of the pandemic, and on one weekend, after a morning of meditation where my mind was clear, I found myself looking out the window, watching the leaves on the trees being blown by the wind. I was listening to the rustling of the leaves, my mind was empty, and I felt a very definite calm and serenity within me. While I can't say for sure that that was it, I genuinely feel that the feeling I get when I totally let go of all my afflictions and cravings and wants, that's when I feel that I'm most at peace with myself, and that's when I feel that my mind is the clearest, and it is exactly then when I just simply be. And when I simply be, it's only then that I feel the closest to the mystery of the Tao. I'm not sure if that is it, but I feel pretty damn close to it. I feel like I got pretty damn close. Have you ever felt such a calm and joy in just being? Just letting go of all your troubles and wants and just existing in the moment, appreciating everything that's around you and the peace within you? For a lot of us, there exists a certain unease with that which we find ambiguous or mysterious. As human beings who wish to know all the time about everything, we constantly find ourselves clawing to understand the meaning of things that feel abstract and not understandable. We often feel frustrated in the face of what we cannot understand, as hard as we try. The Tao Te Ching tries to showcase that in the case of the Tao, maybe it isn't in trying that we begin to understand it more, but rather it is in letting it go. With all this information being shoved in our faces, all this news, just being off your phone for a bit and detaching from this constant stream of being in the know, we can get a little crazy sometimes. Because a lot of us, we just feel like we have to know what's going on. And we have to be on top of things. So again, maybe it isn't in trying to understand that we understand it, but rather letting go, acknowledging that we have no control in understanding it, that we begin to understand it more. In understanding the nature of the Tao that the Tao Te Ching talks about, or at least the closer we get to understanding the Tao, we then start to also understand what it means to be one with it, to live in harmony with the true nature of the universe. When we rid ourselves of all cravings and addictions, be it with vices or the craving to even discover the Tao itself, we step much closer towards seeing its mystery. But wait, just its mystery, not the actual Tao. Is that enough? Well, going back to the passage, ever desireless, one can see the mystery. Ever desiring, one can see the manifestations. These two spring from the same source but differ in name. This appears as darkness. Darkness within darkness, the gate of all mystery. So do we unravel the mystery that is the Tao once we are in the proper state without craving or addiction? It seems we still do not. The Tao seems to be shrouded in total mystery and darkness, but once we are in a state where we are fit to feel its presence, once we are in a state without craving or addiction for the nth time, once we let go of these unnecessary afflictions, we then are free to come close to the mystery and stand at its gates. But in letting go, that includes letting go of that craving to search for the Tao in the first place, even then, I do think we still achieve what we are looking for. We aren't looking to discover the Tao and unravel its mystery. We must be content with simply living in accordance with it. Because we are merely looking to live in accordance with the Tao. And what better way to prepare ourselves to live alongside the true nature of the universe than by ridding ourselves of all craving and addiction and basking in the mystery of the Tao instead? We need not unravel its mystery and fully understand it. We need only live alongside it in peace and contentment. There is surely nothing more calming and peaceful than when we experience that, being in true harmony with the way of the universe, despite it being kept a mystery. Alright guys, thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. The Tao Te Ching is quite a piece of work that is hard to interpret in general, and there are plenty of interpretations out there being thrown around. So if you have a question or you'd like to refute or discuss one of my interpretations, we can definitely have that discussion. Just feel free to message me on Instagram at Socrates and Lao Tzu. Probably hate us. It'll be in the description since it's kind of a confusing thing to spell. Or you can message me on my own account at Joey Victorino. So thanks for listening. Hope you can tune in again next episode as we tackle one of Cicero's Stoic paradoxes. That said, I'll see you again soon. Stay frosty.